It's Central Time. I'm Rob Farah.
And I'm Veronica Ricker. You're with us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up on Central Time, we'll have a recap of results in the Wisconsin Senate and State Assembly, where Republicans secured their largest majorities in decades.
First, at 1:21 a.m. today, the Associated Press called it for Donald Trump as president-elect of the United States. Trump took a majority of the electoral votes. Hillary Clinton won the popular vote by a small margin. The results were a shock to most pollsters who had predicted Clinton as the most likely winner. Also surprised some observers who saw breaks with high-ranking Republicans, rhetoric that alienated minorities, and a campaign that was rocked by scandals, including the release of the Access Hollywood tapes.
But Trump's election was also a triumph for supporters who wanted a break from the political establishment and found Hillary Clinton to be untrustworthy. Trump spoke to the country shortly before 2 a.m. Central Time this morning, and here's a clip from his speech after his victory was announced.
I've just received a call from Secretary Clinton. She congratulated us, it's about us, on our victory. And I congratulated her and her family on a very, very hard-fought campaign. I mean, she fought very hard. Hillary has worked very long and very hard over a long period of time, and we owe her a major debt of gratitude for her service to our country. I mean that very sincerely.
We want to hear from you now and throughout the afternoon on various issues related to the election and what came out of it. What was your reaction to the results of the presidential election? Tell us whether or not you voted, if you're part of the majority of Wisconsin voters who backed President-elect Donald Trump. What do you make of yesterday's election results? You can call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Central Time Facebook page. Want to know whether or not you're happy about the election result. If you voted for your first choice, what you're looking forward to or looking for going forward. Again, you can post on the Central Time Facebook page or call us at 800-642-1234.
And we're looking to get our guest on the line, and he is with us now. Paul Nolet, an associate professor of political science at Marquette University, joins us now. Paul, welcome to the show.
Hi, great to be here.
Well, Paul, what do you think it is that ultimately tipped the scales in Donald Trump's favor last night?
Well, you know, I think one big thing that stood out to me that was pretty unexpected was the relatively low turnout, actually, overall. I think a lot of people were expecting a higher turnout because, I mean, there was so much attention paid to this campaign. And yet we actually saw some of the lowest turnout since 2000. And I think the reason why that's relevant for Donald Trump is that, by and large, he was able to maintain kind of something similar to a typical Republican coalition, but there was quite a bit of drop-off in the Democratic coalition for Hillary Clinton, and that lower turnout, particularly on the Democratic side, I think really ended up hurting her.
And that seems like a surprise because we've been hearing about high numbers when it came to early voting. So what do you think accounts for the disparity there? Big early voting, not so much turnout.
Yeah, and that was what was really surprising. I mean, particularly key states like Florida and, Nevada, and there were a number of other states in which it seemed like early voting was particularly high, but we didn't see those same numbers on Election Day itself. And, that might just simply reflect that, the Hillary Clinton campaign, which had a very strong ground game, placed an emphasis on getting voters out early and succeeded in that, but those were voters that would have just voted on Election Day anyway. So kind of getting even more of a broader kind of coalition that Obama was able to do twice just wasn't there on Election Day itself.
In terms of what got missed, because this victory of Donald Trump's is seen as an upset. The word stunning has been used several times in various media outlets. So what did the pundits miss?
Well, I think I was one of them who was kind of stunned and shocked by the result as well. And, you know, I think what a lot of the pundits and other observers were looking at were the polls, which, you know, by and large have been fairly accurate in past election cycles. And what was kind of amazing is that if you look back all throughout this year, so, you know, going back to January and before Trump was even the Republican nominee, you saw, you know, Clinton with a fairly consistent edge on Trump, you know, 3 or 4 points. And sometimes it would be more than that, sometimes a bit lower. But it was a pretty consistent edge throughout the entire election season. And so I think from a lot of pundits' perspectives, seemed like that was what was going to play out on election day itself. And, of course, it didn't.
So what's the takeaway then, that the people who showed up at the polls were not the people that showed up to vote on election day were not the people who were polled?
Yeah, you know, and I think that there's a couple possible things that were going on, at least. One was that, you know, the way that the polls were constructed just missed a key part of the Trump coalition. And particularly, I think it may have missed more of kind of like white voters without a college degree who either weren't answering polls or weren't weighted properly in the polls. So that's one possibility. You know, and another possibility that is kind of intriguing, it's going to take some work to try to see if this was the case, but whether there were actually some people who ended up voting for Trump who right to the end in polls either said that they're undecided or that they weren't going to vote for either one of the two-party candidates, but then ended up voting for Trump on Election Day. And at least kind of looking at the numbers, my initial impression is that it seemed like it was possibly college-educated women, particularly college-educated white women that might fall into that category, that were particularly likely to say that they were undecided and then ended up voting for Trump in the end.
Paul Nolet is with us right now, an associate professor of political science at Marquette University, and we're looking at the results of last night's upset election in a way. You had the Clinton name attached here, a name with a long history in politics in this country, and you had Donald Trump, the outsider candidate, built a name for himself in business, and his platform, Paul, included tenets from populism, nationalism. Is it safe to say that that kind of messaging is part of what won America over?
Oh, I think so. And, you know, in some ways, a lot of the discussion when it looked like Hillary Clinton was the favorite going into Election Day was, oh, well, you know, Hillary Clinton is not particularly popular. She has very high unfavorable ratings, but she has the fortune of going up against somebody with even higher disapproval ratings. But in some ways, I think now that we know the election results, it might make more sense to look at it from the flip side to say, well, you know, Donald Trump was running in a populist as a populist in a kind of an anti-establishment, anti-elite year, and he had the fortune of running up against, you know, who might be described as one of the most kind of establishment long-standing politicians in the public eye, you know, in America. So I think the contrast there between, you know, the populist Trump and the establishment Clinton really hurt Clinton in what was ultimately an anti-establishment year.
Let's take a caller now. We've got Eric joining us from Oxford. Eric, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks. What do you want to share?
Oh, I was just curious. Where do you think the future of our country is going to go now, with still everybody being so divided?
Right, and so there's division among the electorate, Paul, but maybe not among the government anymore. We've got Republicans controlling both chambers of Congress as well as the White House. So, what do you think about Eric's question?
Yeah, you know, I think it's going to be a real struggle, I think, for Trump after this really extraordinarily, you know, negative, nasty campaign to try to unify the country and to try to get the many people who disapprove of him personally to come to his side. And so it's going to take a lot of work, I think, on Trump's part to try to unify the nation. And, you know, maybe one step forward was his victory speech last night, which was, I think, pretty gracious, but he's going to have to continue that for the beginning of his administration, and then through that. And I do think, you know, the fact that he is coming in with Republican majorities in both the House and Senate is certainly going to, you know, potentially help him get some things done, things that he had mentioned on his agenda. But at the same time that I say that, it also presents a danger because a lot of what he said he wanted to do was highly controversial. So, you know, if he insists, oh, the first thing I'm going to do is build a wall on the Mexican border or, you know, appoint a special prosecutor to prosecute Hillary Clinton, then that's just going to, I think, make the problem worse. And it's going to be very difficult to unify the country under those conditions.
We're recapping the presidential election right now and Donald Trump's historic victory with Paul Nolet, Associate Professor of Political Science at Marquette University.
And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. If you voted for Donald Trump, tell us what appealed to you about him and his message, and if you feel you were overlooked, maybe by media, by pollsters. If you voted for someone else, Hillary Clinton or a third-party candidate, tell us what the deciding factor was for you. Tell us if you were surprised by the results of the election. Call 800-642-1234. And how do you feel the day after? 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
And right now we're picking up our conversation with Paul Nolet, Professor of Political Science at Marquette University. And we're looking at what led to Donald Trump's surprise win and what it means for the country.
And we want to hear from you. Let us know who you voted for and why. Tell us your reactions to the results of the election. Call in at 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. After this heated campaign season, are you concerned about divisions in the country, about what happens next, or are you feeling optimistic today? Call in 800-642-1234.
And Paul, I want to ask you something before we dive into our callers, and there's a lot of them, but, you know, we had Charlie Sykes in Wisconsin. In a sense, I think early on, Wisconsin was seen sort of as a firewall with the Never Trump movement, and at the end of the day, Trump carried Wisconsin. What do you think happened?
Yeah, I mean, that was one of the things that was certainly one of the many things that was surprising, I think, about Election Day, because Wisconsin seemed particularly resistant to Trump because of, you know, because of Charlie Sykes and because of conservative talk radio. And, you know, Republicans in Wisconsin, if they want to win statewide, of course, they have to win, you know, those wow counties like Waukesha, Ozaukee County outside of Milwaukee, because not only are they heavily Republican, but there are a lot of people there, a lot of voters. So, you know, going into this, I think the prediction, and I will admit that this was my prediction as well, was that, you know, Trump was going to underperform in those counties, and by doing so, it was going to make it really difficult to win the state. So, you know, at the end of the day, I think what happened was, you know, Charlie Sykes, conservative talk radio that wasn't, you know, really totally on Trump's side for much of this campaign. You know, initially Republican voters said, well, you know, I don't know about Trump, but at the kind of in the last week, maybe even the last day, they decided, look, I'm going to stick with my party and go with this. And, you know, and especially the fact that even, you know, Ron Johnson didn't outperform Trump by all that much. He did a little bit, but not by all that much, indicates that, you know, most of the Republicans in the state ended up siding with their presidential nominee.
Let's go to our callers now. We've got Steve joining us in Two Harbors, Minnesota. Steve, hi.
Hi. Say, this is regarding Electoral College. You guys had a good show on it yesterday. And it's kind of interesting. Just looked online. As of a few minutes ago, Clinton was leading the popular vote in the country by over 200,000, about 0.7%, whereas the Electoral College votes, Trump has 279 and Clinton has 228. And I just, you know, really think that the Electoral College at least needs to be looked at in the way that the votes from there are distributed out, because it really doesn't seem very proportional. You know, here we've got Clinton with actually a little bit of a lead in the popular vote, and the Electoral College votes aren't even close.
Steve, thanks a lot for that. And Steve, talking about something that's been brought up before, not just in this election, the Electoral College, and how it sometimes is not the same answer as you get with the popular vote. What do you think about that, Paul? Should we be looking at it?
Yeah, you know, of course, this is the second time in five presidential cycles here that the popular vote winner ends up losing the Electoral College and, by extension, the presidency. So I think that this is just going to be talked about even more. And particularly since, you know, at least I know votes are still coming in, but at least my understanding looking at where the votes still need to be counted that, you know, I think Steve mentioned it was about 0.7% right now, and that might actually even go to about 1% or perhaps even more than that, that Clinton ends up winning by. So you have a, you know, a very close popular vote, but then an electoral college that actually looks like something like a blowout. It just really reinforces that point that, you know, the popular vote at the end of the day are not the important votes. It's the votes of the electors. And I think particularly since throughout much of American history and certainly in the 20th, 21st century, there's been an emphasis on, you know, on democracy, on getting people to vote for, you know, initiatives across the country and referenda. I think the idea that there's this additional buffer between the popular vote and the electoral and the presidency is, for a lot of people, outdated. And so I think there will be a lot more pushes to try to do something about the Electoral College. But, you know, at the end of the day, it would require a constitutional amendment to change, and that seems highly unlikely in today's polarized environment.
Steve, thanks a lot for that call, and we go next to Sandy in Silver Bay, Minnesota. Sandy, hello.
Hi.
What did you want to share?
Well, I wanted to share that I'm happy that Trump got in. I think that the man really, truly loves America. I think he, through his business that he's had in the past, surrounds himself with really smart people. And I don't think he's going to let us down. I think he's going to be very transparent in what he does, where he can be transparent. And I think he'll be honest with the American people. And as for everyone getting along and uniting, I think the media needs to not sell us short, because I think it can be done. And I think if somebody can do it, it'll be Trump. He's a little rough around the edges when he talks, but at the same time, he's speaking from the heart. He's being honest with us.
And Sandy, by the way, we're going to talk about unity and how we can move on a little bit later in the show, so stick around for that. But I want to ask you, what do you think about the tone that Donald Trump struck in his victory speech? Do you think it's the right tone moving the country toward unity after this really divisive election?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that was absolutely brilliant. We need to do that. If we ever ended up in a war on our property, everybody in the United States would unite. It wouldn't. Look how we united after 9/11. We did. It was short, but we did. We need to keep that in mind and have respect for the President of the United States, Donald Trump.
Sandy, thank you for that. And Paul, before we get to you, I want to play a little bit of what Hillary Clinton had to say in her concession speech, looking at how to move forward.
We have seen that our nation is more deeply divided than we thought. But I still believe in America, and I always will. And if you do, then we must accept this result and then look to the future. Donald Trump is going to be our president. We owe him an open mind and the chance to lead.
And there's Hillary Clinton's, a bit of her concession speech. And Paul, what do you think about it? We've got Donald Trump striking a magnanimous tone, conciliatory tone, looking toward unity, and Clinton saying Donald Trump is going to be our president. We owe him an open mind. Is this going to be enough to urge people toward that unity?
Yeah, and, you know, I think this kind of call for unity has gotten off to a good start, at least, with these two speeches. But you know, I do want to caution that at the end of the day, they are just two speeches. There's going to be a lot of not only more speeches, but a lot of policy making and a lot of debates that are upcoming. And whether they're done in a respectful tone or whether they're done in a kind of, you know, bomb throwing tone is going to make a big difference in whether unity is actually possible here. So, you know, one of the things that I think has been one of the most remarkable things about America is that there's this tradition of peaceful transitions of power, which we take for granted, I think, largely here, but it's You know, it's not really all that common across the world. So seeing that is kind of an uplifting thing, I think, when you see both sides being gracious to one another. But again, you know, it's all going to be about the follow through. If you go back to 2008, I think, you know, with McCain and Obama, there was a certain graciousness after the election as well, but it didn't take too long before, you know, a lot of the partisan back and forth really started again. And, you know, to a degree, I think that that's going to be inevitable because, after all, there's some really important issues that people really disagree on in the United States. And so there's going to be some partisan back and forth. But, you know, I think Trump does have a chance to kind of turn away from his campaign mode and go to a governing mode where he, you know, tries to connect with the other side more so, and at least tries to pursue his policies in a respectful tone, even in the face of disagreement from the other side.
Well, thank you, Sandy, for that call. Appreciate you bringing that up. And Paul, thanks so much to you for joining us today.
Thank you.
That was Paul Nolet, Associate Professor of Political Science at Marquette University. He joined us there to recap the results of last night's presidential election and discussed what led to President-elect Donald Trump's victory.